WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? I'm Al. Wait, no, that's not true. Hold that. I'm Isaac Constance, regular engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, and I'll be serving an Al Said today. He's actually off at a wedding shop, and we talked about that earlier in the week. He's getting to be that old. But anyway, we've got a great show lined up for you today. We've got James Edwards of the Lansing State Journal joining us. He's a native of Flint, so he'll talk about all of the great initiatives brought by celebrities to that city to try to rejuvenate it after the water crisis, of course. We've also got some great talk lined up regarding the Washington Redskins after a new study was published stating that 9 out of 10 Native Americans did not find the term Redskin offensive. We'll talk about that. Also, Jason Ruff in a throwback segment. Y'all remember him, right? Jason Ruff, production assistant. He's got 2 minutes for Roughing, a hockey segment that we regularly have surrounding what's going on up in Michigan, in the NHL, in college, whatever you want. The guy knows more about hockey than I know about life itself, okay? So we'll have that. Also, we've got Detroit Tigers talk, NBA, NHL playoffs. But hey, it's my first show, so I'm going to have some trouble maybe getting through it if you guys don't help me out. 517-355-WKR, 517-355-9527, and we'll tackle this thing together. We'll talk whatever you want. We've got a great show on hand. And you know what? There's too much to get to, too little time. So let's get cracking with our current sports quick hit headliners for today, May 20th. The Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame championship game takes place tonight at 6 p.m. for the softball classic. Ranny Park will host the showdown pitting the DeWitt Panthers against the Lakewood Vikings. The Panthers beat previously unbeaten Grand Ledge in the semifinals, while the Vikings toppled Holt, who won the championship last year. Meanwhile, over on the boys' side, Grand Ledge swept Holt to capture the CAAC Blue title. Pat O'Keefe's team needed one win to finish the season off on top, and they got it with a 4-3 win in the opening leg of a doubleheader against Holt. Michigan State baseball team fell to Maryland last night in the opener of its final regular season series in conference, 6-3 on Thursday afternoon at McLean Stadium to Maryland. A pair of three-run innings by the Terrapins erased an early sparring lead and gave Maryland starting pitcher Mike Sherwin a complete game performance, holding MSU to just 6 hits, 3 runs on 6 hits for the Spartans. The Spartans and the Terrapins will meet again today at 3:05 p.m. with the series and the regular season concluding on Saturday afternoon. Former Michigan State star Morris Peterson and rapping icon Snoop Dogg are actually coming to Flint and gathering a collection of celebrities for Saturday's Hoop for Water charity game to give back to Flint. The event is from 2 to 6 p.m. at Dort Federal Credit Union Event Center. Doors open at 1 p.m. and tickets are available via Ticketmaster, ranging from $8.50 to $148.50 for VIP packages with meet-and-greet opportunities post-game. Among the celebrities scheduled to attend are Detroit Pistons star Andre Drummond, who will hopefully be working on his free throws, New Orleans Saints running back and Flint native Mark Ingram, shout out to the city of New Orleans, former MSU and NBA basketball star Jason Richardson, Detroit Lions tight end Eric Ebron, radio personality Sway Calway, and Flint rapper John Connor. Some cast. We'll talk to Flint native James Edwards later on in the show about that topic. Then, a Washington Post survey of 504 Native Americans stretching across state lines revealed that 9 of 10 Native Americans were not bothered by the Washington Redskins moniker. These findings were consistent with those of a similar study conducted in 2004 by the Annenberg Public Policy Center. Responses to the question did not vary significantly based off of the answering party's income, education, age, or political party. Additional extrapolation showed that 8 of 10 Native Americans would not be offended if a non-person of a Native American origin referred to them as Redskin, and 7 of 10 Native Americans did not consider the term disrespectful whatsoever. This news is striking in light of the NFL's scrapping of the franchise's trademark, as well as the national commercial airing, deeming the Redskin word just as offensive as the N-word or any other derogatory term towards minorities. More to come on that topic later. In a snoozer of an Eastern Conference final so far, Cleveland distanced themselves from the Raptors with a 108-89 win. Cleveland now takes a 2-0 lead after Game 2, which will be held in Toronto. In the game, LeBron James surpassed Shaquille O'Neal for fourth overall in postseason scoring and swinging the night by pouring in a triple-double with 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. Golden State and Oklahoma City will try to break the deadlock this weekend with an influential Game 3 in Oklahoma. Then, on to the NHL playoffs. The San Jose Sharks also commanded the eyes of the nation with an easy breezy 3-0 win over the St. Louis Blues. San Jose now leads the series 2-1, and goalie Martin Jones has been impassable. He now has two straight shutouts, and the Sharks have won the previous two games by an aggregate score of 7-0. Game 4 takes place on Saturday, and Lynchcomb signed. Sorry to any interested Tiger fans, but Tim Lynchcomb's off the market. The long-haired, laid-back righty from Washington signed a $2.5 million salary with the Los Angeles Angels a few hours south of the Bay, where he played his entire career. Lynchcomb skated on batters in his prime, winning back-to-back Cy Young Awards in 2008 and 2009 and helping out the Giants to three World Series. And then last but not least, this again. Jim Harbaugh will again host two more satellite camps, checking off a plus two on the list. One stop will be June 2nd at Leesburg, Lee County in Georgia, just 4 hours after an Atlanta satellite camp will be held on that same day. The other will be held the day before at Springfield High School in Ohio, as reported by the Dayton Daily News. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. I'm Isaac Constance. Let's start the show.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. Like the singing bird and the croaking toad, I've got a name, I've got a name.
Actually, there is one other thing the Native Americans wouldn't mind if we did, and it concerns the football team, for some reason not yet formally known as the Washington Redskins. They still haven't changed their name, despite the launch just this week of a new emotionally powerful advertising campaign.
Seminole, Seneca, Mohawk, and Creek. Mills. Will Rogers. Geronimo. Unyielding. Strong. Indomitable. Native Americans call themselves many things. The one thing they don't
For the average American, that ad should target 1/16th of your heartstrings and make the rest feel extremely guilty. The strongest possible pushback you can have after watching something amazing like that is, yeah, but... No, oh, you're right, you're right. We gotta change the name, you're right, you're right. But one person remains unmoved, and unfortunately, he is the only one that matters.
Redskins owner Dan Snyder has held firm under some protest that he will not change the nickname of his team.
Washington Redskins is more than a name. We have called our football team for over eight decades. It is a symbol of everything we stand for: strength, courage, pride, and respect.
Oh, well, that's fine then. I had no idea you had an ancient eight-decade history at stake here. You are clearly a proud people who have suffered greatly.
And that is John Oliver, back 2 years ago maybe, on his segment, Why the Washington Redskins Need to Change Their Name. Actually, the music under that is Jim Croce. Great song. Actually, I discovered it when watching Django Unchained. It's such a good country-western movie, such a good country-western song. I thought it fit for I Got a Name. That's the name of the song. So, John Oliver, he obviously took great offense to the issue of the Washington Redskins declaring themselves almost above the law and going on with this name despite protests across the country debating whether or not that was the right thing to do, considering that there's really no tie between Washington, D.C. and the Redskins and the Native Americans and anything you want. So I think when it comes down to it, this new study released by the Washington Post is shocking because we've been taught and we've been primed to think that Redskin is just as bad as any other derogatory term, such as the N-word or a slur regarding homophobia or anything like that. And this new study almost shows that it's not. The survey was conducted on 504 Native Americans across the country without regard to state lines, proximity to a reservation, age, income, education, political party. Native Americans resoundingly said 9 of 10 that they were not offended by the term Redskin. Additionally, 7 of 10 did not feel the word Redskin is disrespectful whatsoever to Native American people. 8 of 10 would not be offended if a non-Native called them that name. So this almost changes every single thing that we thought about the Washington Redskins team name. And now the question remains, should Washington still be permitted to have the team name, or should they be forced to change it? And that seemed to be the direction in which the NFL and every other league entity was going in previous years. But now that's all changed. Turn of the script. So I think there are two possible ways you can look at this. For one, 9 of 10 opinion switched. Now it's not offensive, and now you don't have to change the name because majority says blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fair. What I wonder, though, is a team name allowed to offend anybody? 9 of 10, 10% is still a sizable part of the population. 10% of the American people, of the Native American people, have a say. And, you know, it's so easy to name a team the Tigers. The Tigers. That's fierce. That's ferocious. That's intimidating, just like any other name. How about the Seminoles of Florida State? That even is Native American, but properly addresses the history of one culture. It doesn't signal an entire group, and it isn't narrowing down classification. It isn't classifying anybody based on their skin color. That's easy. And then you've got so many names that you could go to. The name Redskin actually inspires a lot of different high schools to change their team names to ones that are potentially derogatory to Native American people or to other sorts of tribes within the region. And you know what? I'm not sure if that's a good thing. Now, this study actually had been conducted before in 2004 by the Annenberg Center for Public Policy, and they found very similar things. So actually, I am curious why this is just popping up right now. And 2 years ago, here's the timeline for you. So 2004 study comes out. This is the thing. Ever since then, there's been surmounting and building pressure on the Washington Redskins franchise to change the name. There have been petitions outside the FedEx Arena or the FedEx Center, whatever, FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, where actually they play their games. And Native American tribes have released it. You heard that poignant ad in the John Oliver skit, and it really was touching. When I saw that, I thought, boy, there is no way that Dan Snyder can keep this team name anymore. There's just no logic behind it. And then, maybe the most important part of this saga was back 2 years ago, in 2014, when a copyright jury and trial ruled that the Redskins lost their trademark. So that means that if you saw that great South Park episode when they poked fun at the Washington Redskins and Dan Snyder, the owner, everything was illegal about that because the Washington Redskins had no original right to their logo, to their name, to their trademark that they created because under the Lanham Act, potentially discriminatory and derogatory names are not valid under copyright protection. So that means that anybody now can make a Redskins shirt. They don't have to acquire any sort of permission or legal savvy from the Redskins organization themselves. And that was revolutionary. And from then, it looked as if the trend was, well, now they've got to change the name because they're losing money on this deal right now. When a name isn't protected by trademark, they no longer have the sole right to create merchandise. One of the primary sources of revenue for any sports team that there is, they no longer have that. And then, with all the different trials and the Redskins wanting to move back into the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., the actual city, instead of some Maryland suburb, that meant that, yeah, maybe finally we can see this name go out the window. And then this study comes out. And this totally changes everything because now you find out that 9 of 10 Native Americans are not offended by the name. And just to repeat the stats, 9 of 10 Americans, Native Americans, are not offended by the name Redskin. 7 of 10 do not feel the word Redskin is disrespectful to Native Americans whatsoever. And 8 of 10 would not be offended if a non-Native called them that name. So those are consistent with the 2004 signing. Big deal. But with all the hoopla surrounding this, and we've seen on multiple occasions how society's almost become hypersensitive and hyperreactive to these sorts of issues. Anything can be offensive. Anything can push somebody's buttons. And you know what? I thought this would be very similar. But now, maybe we see for the first time that it's not pushing the buttons. It's not offensive to the people who were supposedly denigrated by this name, by the term Redskin, the Native Americans who occupied the land first. So my take, if you want to hear it, is that I don't care that this study came out, that 9 of 10 Native Americans are not offended by the name Redskin, because 9 of 10 is not 10 of 10. If it was 10 of 10, sure, use any sort of slur or name you want. I don't care, because if it's not bothering anybody, that's just fine. 1 of 10, still a large population, and whether or not Native Americans are offended by this term, and they should have the ultimate say in this, it's true, but at the same time, whether or not they're offended by the term, they don't benefit from it. I haven't heard of many initiatives from Dan Snyder's front office and the Washington Redskins in general to better the Native American people. We see so many chronic problems on Native American reservations. You've got the highest rates of alcoholism in the country. You've got poverty. You've got high rates of suicide. And Washington Redskins, the Cleveland Indians, which in some ways I think is even worse. I think I'll actually go into that later, but I think that could be construed as even worse now that the term Redskin is not considered highly offensive by most Native Americans. But these groups, these entities, aren't necessarily saying, if you let us use your name, we'll give you something back. I haven't heard of those initiatives. Maybe I haven't looked closely enough. Correct me if I'm wrong, 517-355-9527. But at the same time, that's not why I've heard. And these organizations are learning a lot and getting a lot of revenue and feedback because of these names. And yet, at the same time, the Native Americans on the other end don't get anything because of it. So my proposal would simply be change the name to something not offensive, not anything that's going to be derogatory towards any sort of population, any sort of group of people, because whether it's 1 of 10, whether it's 1 of 100, and everybody's going to be offended by something different. You know, if you're a tiger, maybe somebody's brother got mauled by a tiger. I don't know. But it's something where if that's the case, you do have to eventually tune out the people. But the fact that 1/10 of an entire population, an entire race of people who really did have everything taken from them is offended by this, I think that's enough of a motivation to sort of switch it around, to say it's time to make a change. Whether it was 90% that were offended or 10%, I don't think this change is a thing, because the Lanham Act, which is why I referenced earlier and which is what meant that the Redskins no longer could be trademarked under federal law, because that regards a potentially, keyword potentially, discriminatory name, which is not valid under copyright protection. and potentially certainly qualifies for 1/10 of people. In fact, when 7 of 10 do not feel that the word Redskin is disrespectful to Native Americans, 3 of 10 do. Even if they're not offended by it, they view it as disrespectful. And that's potentially discriminatory. That's potentially denigrative. That's every single thing that you don't want to reach if you're a franchise. It's a bad image for them. I think Dan Snyder is simply being obstinate. I think he has been with this name. And the sad thing is, this study is going to lend credence to the fact that he hasn't switched the name around just yet, that he hasn't looked into name changes. But I think there is one more big factor to look into this, and then we'll actually move on to our first guest of the day, which is James Edwards of the Lansing State Journal. He's in the studio. I thank him for stopping by and sitting right across from me right now. But the one other thing that I want to bring up is that the Redskins are trying to move back into D.C. I mentioned it earlier, but D.C. also has a fully equipped stadium, the RFK Stadium in the District of Columbia. And that's a lot more appetizing to the people of Washington to say, yeah, we actually are located in the city of Washington, D.C. instead of a suburb. You see the Golden State Warriors doing that same thing, trying to move across the bay to San Francisco. That's a common movement right now. Teams trying to move back into the urban areas because people are moving in general back into urban areas. So if the Washington Redskins end up going to FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, then, well, that's where they are now. If they end up going to D.C., then that's a huge boost for them in terms of attendance at games, in terms of all of the different promotions that they can do. But RFK Stadium, the one in D.C., is located on federal property. That's right. It's the property of the National Park Service. It's their land. And under these current laws, there's no chance if your team's not copyrighted even. If you can't trademark your logo, your name that you came up with, the originality of those two subjects, then you're not going to be able to take over a stadium that's already built, that's already first class, essentially for free, and use it from now on. So if the Washington Redskins want to keep this name, and I assume, yeah, they do, considering that they haven't let it up just yet, they're going to need to make some sort of compromise. They're going to need to make some sort of appeasement so that the federal government no longer takes offense to this, because right now, the barrier to them moving back to Washington, D.C. is the fact that, you know what, we can't actually have a stadium here, because the only stadium that's going to be allowed with all the zoning limits in Washington, D.C. is RFK. And RFK is owned by the government right now. That means that Washington will permanently be stuck in Landover, Maryland, a suburb. I'm not saying it's not a nice place, but at the same time, you want to get back to D.C. until they change this name. So I'm happy that 9 of 10 Native Americans are not offended by the name Redskin. It shows that, yeah, maybe we're not as sensitive as we thought we were and all of that stuff, so credit to them. At the same time, I still think 1 of 10 is too large of a number to say, well, that's the issue. It's all resolved now. And that's not the case. So 1 of 10, I think, is too much. And then the other issue is, for the well-being of the franchise, eventually you have to say, I want my trademark back. I want my stadium back in Washington, D.C. And Dan Snyder, listen, he's stubborn. He is. I mean, that's why he hasn't changed the name yet. But he's not stupid. He is a billionaire, or at least a very, very rich multimillionaire. And he's not going to forever spurn logic and spurn his better judgment just to make a stand that I don't want to change this name. Because, and John Oliver said this at the end of his segment. He said, you know, I didn't realize that the Washington Redskins had such a proud history of the 8 decades of their existence. And I totally agree with that. If you change the team name, teams, organizations, they do this all the time. The New Orleans Pelicans, and yeah, that's not a great name. And nobody has a right to be more upset about a non-offensive name than I do with the New Orleans Pelicans. That is the most unintimidating, passive name that you'll ever come up with. A pelican. Who's afraid of a pelican? But you know what? the logo is so cool. And the team actually finally has a name which relates to the city of New Orleans. Now, not as much as the Utah Jazz. Don't ask me how Utah has managed to hold on to that name. I've never really connected Utah and Jazz together. And in the background of their logo, at least there used to be, these huge soaring mountains in the past with ice caps. That's not Jazz. That's mountain. Maybe call them the Mountaineers, like West Virginia. But anyway, that's a digression. That's a side tangent. But the thing is, with the Washington Redskins and the New Orleans Pelicans, when you change a team's logo, their identification, it can actually get an entire community to rally around the team. It can get a bunch of new revenue simply by buying new gear. Nobody wants to have an outdated jersey, an outdated cap that they're going to be sporting around town. So whether or not 9 of 10 Native Americans are offended by the name or 10 of 10 aren't, it just makes sense eventually to change this name. Bring in new revenue for your team, for your city, for your franchise. And you know what? Like John Oliver said, 80 years of history, that ain't nothing. That's nothing to worry about. You change the name. That happens all the time in sports. And you know what? It's no big deal. So anyway, coming up, we're actually going to have James Edwards in studio. But if you want to call in, call in at 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. And actually, before we hit our first break, we do have a caller on line one. It's Michael from Saginaw. Michael, thank you for helping me out. How are you doing today?
I'm all right there. You know what I'm thinking about? If we're going to change all the names in sports, why don't we start with the Atlanta Braves, the Cleveland Indians? I'm just laughing, man. You know, I think this is just like anything else in the news now. It's not about reality. It's more about some idea for somebody changing the name. Now, like I'm saying, the Charlotte Hornets, I'm glad they got their name back. I mean, I'm really happy about their name. But it's like now they're changing these names because they want to make money off of uniform sales and apparel sales and everything.
Yeah. So,
what's
Michael,
your take on that?
I think that you're exactly right. The change of names right now for the Charlotte Hornets or the New Orleans Pelicans or any jersey redesign. You see the NBA now going to sleeve jerseys. Baseball has all sorts of weird jerseys now that aren't traditional whatsoever. All of these are just to make money. That's all it's about. And it makes sense. I mean, shoot, I want to make money too. That's what every single person aspires to do, make a decent bit of money.
Look at the 76ers. They the first team who's put advertising on their jerseys.
Yeah,
you know, they
exactly.
Talking about doing that not this season, but the next season. Here's what I was talking about since I'm talking about baseball teams. I want to talk about the Lansing Lugnuts. What about their name?
Lansing
what
Lugnuts.
What about the Great Lakes Loons up in Midland? What about the team in your neck of the woods, the Zephyrs, the minor league team?
Uh-huh.
See, this is what minor league teams do all the time. They go and get some crazy name, you know.
Yeah, they definitely are crazy names. And you see the logo of the Lugnuts all around the city of Lansing. I love it, personally. It does relate to the city's history with the car production and all of that. But, you know, when you're a minor league team, too, you've got a staff. So you're not like a high school. You've got design staff and advertising staff. But at the same time, you're not a major league team. So you're not going to name yourselves the Tigers again or something super cool. You've got to get creative. So I actually love those names personally.
What about the El Pacho Chihuahuas or the Montgomery Biscuits or the Fresno Grizzlies? I'm just throwing out the minor league teams, the Toledo Mudheads. I'm just throwing out how the minor league teams name their names.
I had heard of the Mudheads. I'd never heard of the Biscuits. That's my new personal favorite. That's the new standard for minor league teams' names. The Biscuits. That's good stuff.
How about the Nashville Sounds?
Yeah.
The New Haven Rock Cats. I'm just throwing some of these crazy names they give these teams.
So, Mike, one last thing. Mike, do you think that...
Let me talk about Cleveland right quick. Do you think they're going to ever lose a game?
Cleveland, the Cavaliers?
Yeah, the Cavaliers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do. Well, you know, we might get to that later in the show, but the way they've started this series. Tyronn Lue is the first ever coach to go 10-0 to begin his postseason coaching career. And LeBron James and Kevin Love, if you remember, they had that sort of discord last year. They weren't on the same page. There were all these rumors that Kevin Love would abandon the team because he and LeBron didn't get along. Kevin Love seems like the funniest guy on that team right now. And everybody's just meshing. All of the regular season worries about that have fallen apart. So, no, I think Cleveland's got to be the favorite right now to win the NBA Finals simply because even if you don't think they're the best team, they're most likely, at least in my opinion, going to get out of the Eastern Conference Series without a loss, 12-0 in the first three rounds, and they're not going to be injured whatsoever. They're not going to have to go through Golden State or Oklahoma City. I like Cleveland's chances. What about you?
What about, I'm thinking about Kyrie Irving, too.
Oh.
And you're right.
Yep.
You're right about the Eastern Conference. I mean, they really haven't been tested. I mean, they played Detroit Pistons. They played Atlanta.
Yep.
And that goes to show you on the talent level on the East Conference. I mean, I know this might just be their time to go ahead and do it. I mean, I love Golden State because Draymond Green is from my town. But it just seemed like they're really clicking on all cylinders right there, despite being a reality show that ESPN is constantly doing.
Isn't it
funny that when ESPN, Skip Bayless is going to leave the network, that the Cleveland Cavaliers will start playing much better?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the case, but I don't know. I do love the Cleveland Cavaliers. And to address your earlier question about Kyrie Irving, I thought that he was the most overrated player in the league for the last three seasons because the guy doesn't play much defense. He had multiple games with LeBron James and Kevin Love, two offensive juggernauts on his team, where he didn't rack up a single assist as a point guard. That's embarrassing. But this year, he's actually assumed much more of an off-ball role. He's learned how to play in the system. I think he's gotten much better, and I think he's one of the most valuable aspects for this team and any team right now. He's playing outstandingly. Mike, thanks for your call. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to hit our first break, and after that, we're going to bring James Edwards, Lansing State Journal sports reporter. He's in the studio. He's going to be on the show. So we're going to talk about all things Lansing related, a little basketball. Also, Lansing United, he covered this team last year, so we'll get to that. Call in 517-355-9527. Let's hit the first break, and we'll talk to you after. All right, so, yeah, we had a good talk at the start of the hour. That was about the Washington Redskins and their name. A recent Washington Post study came out saying that 9 of 10 Native Americans are not offended by the name, and 7 of 10 do not feel the word Redskin is disrespectful whatsoever to Native Americans. But to start this bit, I want to first just let you guys know that without help from caring listeners like you, WKR would sound like any other station. Because of people like you, WKR is different, better, smarter, extraordinary. Please help us to continue to bring extraordinary programs to you and your community. Use the Give Now link at WKR.org. Thanks for any donations. And, of course, that helps. We're a public radio station. So anything that you can give, anything at all, it's of big assistance to us here at WKR. So without further ado, though, we've had him in the studio for quite a while. We appreciate his patience. But James Edwards of the Lansing State Journal, James has covered all sorts of different prep events. He's a native of Flint, and he and I actually covered the Lansing United soccer team, the minor league soccer team here in Lansing, earlier on, not this year, but actually last year around this time. So without further ado, James, how's it going?
Isaac, man, how's it going? Has anybody ever told you you sound like Jim Rome?
No.
Just the voice, man. I don't know if it's just, I never noticed it. Maybe it's just because we're behind the mics right now.
We're going to have you on more often. That's a great comment.
Oh, I hear it in the voice, man. I like it.
Okay. I actually heard Matthew McConaughey recent.
That's a good one.
Good?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a bad guy to
Yeah,
be
I take that
to.
Too. Yeah. You know, the Southern accent and all that. But first off, how's the shoulder doing? I know you had the surgery.
Man, it's about 60%. Could
okay.
be better. could be worse. I'm out of the sling, which is all that matters at this point. But yeah, therapy 3 times a week. I had it this morning, so it's getting better each day.
Okay. And then you're actually covering a track event later today. What's going on there?
Yeah, track regionals. Spring sports are getting ready to wrap up. There's a lot of local teams out there. Just one of the many, many, many festivities I've been at this or will be at this week. Yeah, it should be fun.
Any teams or individuals that you've got your eye on?
It's at Holt, so Holt Okemos will be there. Grand Ledge has a kid named Austin Edwards that is pretty good. Okay. So, yeah, if you're in the Lansing area and you're a fan of track or high school sports in general, make your way out to Holt. I believe it started around 1:30-ish. I'm going to head up there after this and catch up.
All right. Yeah, we won't keep you too long then. But first off, James, you and I have had innumerable conversations about the Detroit Pistons. Yes. That's your team. You grew up in Flint. You're a bad boy fan and all of that stuff. How'd you rate their season this year?
Ooh, nobody's asked me that. I would give it a B.
Okay.
I think we took the necessary steps that we needed to throughout the season.
Uh-huh.
We got to a point where I think the fans were happy with the product on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to look forward to. There's just excitement again in Detroit when it comes to the Pistons, which has not happened in 7 or 8 years. So I feel proud. I'm not ever going to give it an A, because an A, obviously, we'd be going home later on today and watching a little bit of Pistons, or last night we probably would watch Pistons. But I think we're in the right direction. We're maybe one more piece away. But like I said, there's enough to look forward to. So I think everybody around here is pretty happy.
Okay, good stuff. And actually, Andre Drummond will be one of the players in attendance at a new charity event going on in Flint. That's your home city,
yeah.
Along with Mark Ingram, New Orleans Saints player, also Flint native, Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg's throwing
it. Big name. What do you think of that?
I'm excited. It's great for the city. I know Snoop Dogg has Michigan ties. If I'm not mistaken, either lived in Detroit or Lansing at some point in his life. I believe that's one of the two cities. But it's big for the city. Obviously, Flint's a city people know nationwide, but not for positive things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great way to bring some positivity to the city, to help a cause that's been obviously very sad and running the news over the past about year and a half. So It's going to be great for the city. It'll be great for the kids to go out there and see guys that people can aspire to be. I think that's something that's been missing in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a fun time. I'm excited. I think I'm going to make my way down there.
Yeah, I might try to myself. So,
check it out.
Yeah, and a recent article that you wrote on the Lansing State Journal, it was actually really touching, really excellent.
I appreciate that.
I thought it was just a great piece. But Langsberg Sr., Caden Patrick, actually was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer and found a sort of therapy in golf.
Yeah.
Expand on that.
So, like a lot of kids that play basketball growing up, he aspired to play in the NBA at some point, and then he grew up his whole life playing basketball. Ended up finding out the part of the story I left out of the story I wrote is the way he found out he got the cancer. He got hit with a screen in a recreational basketball tournament in like 7th or 8th grade. He was I was on defense, backpedaling, got hit with a screen, he didn't see nothing dirty, just it kind of rattled him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Neck pain, ear pain for a month. Family just thought it was just from the basketball. Goes to the doctor, and they just give him prescription for, I believe, just like a sinus infection.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't go away. They go to the doctor again. They asked him if he played any sports, and they just treat it as a regular injury. Still didn't go away. Then a couple months later, he goes, gets a CAT scan, and finds out he has a tumor near the nasal cavities, which is where this cancer kind of forms itself. And that's how he found out. So it started from his love. This kid loves basketball. Ended up getting what he thought was an injury from basketball, and it ended up changing his life. But he's a great kid, a positive kid. He was great to interview, great to talk to. His family was great. So I wish him the best, and I think he'll be all right without a doubt.
And how long did the cancer go undiagnosed for?
To my knowledge, I believe it was a couple months before they found out that it was cancer, not an injury or not a sinus infection.
Wow.
They made a couple trips to the doctor before it was actually diagnosed.
Is it finally in remission, the cancer?
No, he still has it. He does what he has to do daily to deal with it, But if you meet the kid, that doesn't stop him. He still likes to do what he can. Obviously, there's certain things that limit him. But you could tell he's a kid that's not going to give up.
Yeah. Wow. Well, on to a little bit of a lighter subject. Lansing United this year. Season's just getting started. They actually played their first interleague game recently, and I believe drew with Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
But
and they won one the day before.
Yeah.
They had two last weekend.
Okay. New manager, though, and Eric Rutland, of course, is out. Nate Miller is in.
Yeah.
What do you make of his transition to the team so far?
It sounds like everybody there, the fans, the players, they're all in it. Obviously, he kind of revamped the roster. He brought in guys that he felt like fit his system, but there are a couple guys from the original team 2 years ago that are on the roster. But they all had some type of ties to him, I believe. And when I talked to him after practice the other day, one thing he said is he wanted to bring an exciting brand of soccer to the Lansing area. And I didn't get to see the first two games. They were on the road, but they were able to walk away with 4 points from the weekend. And mm-hmm. It sounds like they're on the right path. I was at practice, I think, Wednesday or Tuesday, and they got a game this Sunday, and it sounded like that he's on the right trajectory where he wants to be. And it sounds like everybody's happy with the new roles and the new transition.
Oh, good. Okay. And as far as the team goes itself, they actually lost their captain, Matt Brown, last year to retirement. I think he moved away, too. And, you know, he just had a family to take care of, all of that stuff. How are they dealing with the loss of their primary player, almost?
Well, and you know this, Isaac. Matt Brown was a guy that was a fan favorite. He came over from England. But the thing with him is he was an older guy. If I'm not mistaken, he was 20. Yeah, early 30s, late 20s. He was a family guy. So there would be times in the season where he would either be playing arguably as the best player on the team. I think there was a stretch where he had like 4 goals in 2 weekends. And then there would be times where he looked a little out of shape and he was on the pitch because he's a great player and he's a guy that they look to for veteran leadership. But there was times where you could tell he looked out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
Now they kind of usher in a whole new group of guys, a lot of young guys that are, most of them are playing college, and they got a new captain who's been with the team since day one, Austin Dunn, who's from Perry, not too far from here.
Of course, yeah.
And he anchors that back line, and I believe he had an assist last weekend. And yeah, they got some guys that are really just system guys that Miller wanted to bring in that kind of fit his style, and I think they're just trying to figure out what needs to be done to get Lansing United back to the top of the MPSL.
Good stuff. So the team itself has almost been revamped then.
Yeah, no, the whole team itself has been revamped. I think there's maybe 3 or 4 guys from the original team from 2013 or 14. This is their third year.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a couple of guys from that. A lot of guys, Nate, who coaches at Spring Arbor. He brought some guys from Spring Arbor with him, used some connections that he has in the coaching circuit to bring some other guys around. And yeah, so they really did revamp it. He wanted to kind of just change the culture and make his own thing, which I understand completely. Anybody that's taken over a job, you want to do it your way and see if you can succeed your way or not.
Okay. And then this season, what qualifies as a success?
It's a good question. I have not asked what they qualify or what they deem to see as a success this year, but I know that they have high expectations, given where they were in their inaugural year when they got a super deep run.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they had a little bit of a fall off, and I think they're obviously looking more to get back to that first season. And I think they feel comfortable with where they're at and that they have a chance to at least contend and compete. The thing that hurt them last year, and you were there, they kind of had a bad second half of the season.
Yep.
They started off pretty well, and then they ended up either losing or drawing a bunch of games that they probably shouldn't have. So I think they're just interested to see where this goes, and they're interested to kind of just get the ball rolling and see if they can kind of continue to build this thing in Lansing.
Mm-hmm. After covering so many games, both for Lansing United, and I don't know if you got to cover a Detroit City FC game. But
when they played Lansing.
Okay, what do you make of the possibility of an MLS team actually coming over to Michigan and Detroit? Can the state and the city sustain it?
I think it's always been long overdue. I've told this from a couple of years ago when the MLS was adding teams. I thought Michigan was one of the teams that should be at the top of their list. If you're in this area, whether it's Lansing, Flint, Detroit, these are big soccer cities. I know people might not associate Flint with soccer, or they might associate it more with basketball, but man, soccer is huge in Flint. There's so many leagues for adults. There's so many leagues for kids. Lansing, there's numerous high school kids that are considered some of the best in the state. And Detroit, I mean, that speaks for itself. Obviously, there's so many people there that, of course, the soccer culture is going to be wild. I think it's long overdue. I think there's enough soccer supporters here that it'll last, and it's something new. It gives people something to look forward to, and I think it will. I think it could sustain. I'd just be interested to see where they did it. Obviously, it would be in Detroit, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would work. I think there is enough support statewide that it would draw some interest.
I think the current plans actually have it being incorporated to the part of the stadium district, which would be just perfect for the city. Rally all sorts of different types of people, and also just give the city a perfect insertion of life, right, into the heart of downtown. I think it would be a great move if they can rally enough support behind it. And the new stadium plans themselves look beautiful.
No, they do. They look really good.
Yeah. And then finally, you and I support the same team over in England, yes. Tottenham Hotspur. But of course, they finished third overall this season. I see that I've actually got a friend, Casey Kopp, mm-hmm. now watching the live stream that we're hosting. And he's a huge Tottenham fan, too. He and I had countless conversations over the course of the season, and it ended in disappointment, of course, for us. But Leicester City, 5,000-1 before the season started. How remarkable and how unprecedented was their rise to the top of a league without a salary cap?
I don't get how you couldn't root for them at a point where they kind of put themselves in the position that they could contend. How do you not root for that? It's in the sport, especially soccer, the way that it's so top heavy every year with the same Man U, Man City, Tottenham, Arsenal, these money-driven clubs, they're able to get the best players. It's the same thing in the NBA. When you have these top heavy teams and all the players want to play together, it kind of deludes the product. And when you see something like that where these guys, I mean, I couldn't name a guy from Leicester City before the season started, and now they're making an absolute fantastic run that I don't know if it'll ever be touched in any sport in terms of just the shock factor of what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I wish you saw more in sports. But I don't know how that would happen, especially at soccer, because in the BPL level, because obviously there's so many clubs with so much money, and you throw Chelsea in there, and it was interesting, man. I don't know if it'll ever happen again. I think it was kind of just, I don't even know how to explain it. I really don't. It just worked. It seemed like it was a bunch of guys that like to play together.
Mm-hmm.
They start getting on a roll at some point in the season, and this caught magic.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I was trying to describe it, I just reverted back to cliche after cliche. Like, this is a team that really stuck together and believed in themselves. But can you attribute it to?
That's it. Especially, like I said, when you look at the roster and you probably look at their salaries. I mean, me and you might be giving a couple of those guys a run for their money when it comes to the salary. But no, I'm just joking. But no, you know what I'm exactly. It's really surreal the way it happened. The history of the BPL, everything. It's kind of speechless when you want to break it down.
Definitely is. James, thanks for joining me. Promote yourself. How can people read your work?
We're not going to talk hip-hop? I thought hip-hop? I came up here to talk some hip-hop.
All right. I do have to say, if you're watching the live stream, you can see a great Run the Jewels t-shirt.
Should I put it up a little
bit?
Run
the Jewels t-shirt.
There we go.
Excellent. But, yeah,
no,
anything on your mind?
Yeah, James Edwards, Lansing State Journal. Follow me on Twitter, JL Edwards, the third, so 3 I's. I work for the Lansing State Journal, cover high school sports, some college, and any type of publicity that I can help with my friend Isaac here, I would love to help out. So I'm glad you invited me, man. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it. It was a blast having you on. So thanks for joining. Now we're actually going to get to another fun segment. Next time you're on, we will definitely make room for hip-hop conversation.
Promise, man.
That's my problem.
Let's
do it.
That's
my fault. We're running short on time, though.
I got you, man.
We're going to actually hit our second break. Out of that, we're going to have Ray from Indiana on Live One, and then a quick 2 minutes for Roughing, a throwback segment centering around Jason Ruff. He's going to keep us updated with all the new hockey happening. So stay tuned to this channel, AM870, WKR.org, Current Sports. We'll see you out of the break. Thanks for being on, James. And now we've got a quick call from Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
Skipper!
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
You holding the ship down today?
Yeah, Al let me, you know, take the reins for a day and see how it goes.
Well, you ain't make it sink, did you?
No, not just yet. We've got a few holes, but I'm plugging them. Don't worry.
Hey.
Yeah?
Tommy.
Tommy Brady.
Tom Brady, take your medicine, and they might take your suspension down to 2 or 3 games, or take it like a man and take the whole 4 games. Monday, you got to make a decision, Tommy. It's time to take your medicine.
Hey, that's true, Ray. And you know what? He's got the appeal process, which he's still trying. They're going to try to reach a sort of compromise in the middle. So we'll see if he's able to do that. Ray, short on time. Thanks for the call.
We'll talk
to you on Monday. You too.
God bless you.
You too. All right. And now we're going to hit the 2 minutes for roughing segment. Jason Ruff, former production assistant and the smartest man I've ever met, simply on hockey knowledge alone. He's going to be on the line. So, Jason, how's it going, my friend?
I'm doing good. You mind coming in loud and clear?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. So, really quick, because unfortunately we are on a bit of a time crunch, but the current NHL playoff standing, Sharks are up 2-1 and Pittsburgh's also up 2-1. What's been going on there?
Well, we'll start in the East. Quite honestly, it's been a complete flip-flop. You had Ben Bishop, Tampa Bay's goaltender, their rock, go out with injury. And meanwhile, you've also had Pittsburgh, their stars, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, they've finally shown up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're Tampa Bay, you're in a tough situation here. You're down 2-1. You've let Pittsburgh basically come back from the dead and get 2 straight games. I would say Tampa Bay is in a must-win situation going into tonight's game. They're at home. They're likely going to be without Bishop. He's listed as unlikely.
And
if they lose that game, Isaac, they're going to have to go back to Pittsburgh, and those Pittsburgh fans are going to be – they're just going to smell blood in the water because they know they have a chance to go back to the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first – or the finals, I should say, for the first time since 2009 when they won it against your Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, speaking of blood in the water, where are the Sharks up to? Hey, I've got a new favorite player, actually, and his name's Brett Burns over on that team.
Yeah, he's been doing a good job. Well, the Sharks, similar issue right now. You know, they've just elevated their game just to a level that St. Louis just cannot match. Brian Elliott has just gone completely cold. I'm just looking at some stats right now. He allowed 3 goals on 14 shots last night before being pulled midway through the third. I just think St. Louis is just shell-shocked right now. And yes, all of their series have gone 7 games, so I won't say they're out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, when they were playing the Stars, they were playing against a defense that was rotating 2 goaltenders. Like, it was basically a coin flip to see which goaltender would start in that series. The Sharks have things on defense locked down. They have held St. Louis scoreless for over 150 minutes.
Wow. Huh.
So St. Louis seems to be hitting a wall here. I would put them in a must-win situation going into Game 4 as well.
And St. Louis actually lost the previous 2 games by an aggregate score 7-0. Not pretty there.
Yeah.
So, and then moving on, Jason, just real quickly, the Red Wings, they let go of Kyle Quincy and Brad Richards. You like those moves? They're trying to go younger.
I do. I've always said I think the Red Wings need to go the younger route. If you look at a lot of the teams, especially in the East, but all throughout the NHL, they're going younger. So I think the Detroit management needs to sit down, evaluate all the older players, realize who's giving the team and the organization the most dividends in terms of leadership, experience, and actual on-ice production, and who's not, and putting those players in that ladder group and kind of shoveling them off or shuffling them off stage right here and bring them in with new players via the draft or via free agency or via whatever means necessary.
And speaking of free agency, I know Steven Stamkos is almost the dream product for Red Wings and the dream fruit that they could pluck from that free agency era. What do you think their chances are of getting him, or are there any other uncovered gems that you've seen that they should target instead?
I haven't been paying too much attention to free agency right now. I'll probably get into that as soon as the finals really start going on or start slowing down a bit. In terms of Stamkos, I think there's a chance the Red Wings could get him. Honestly, though, they're going to have to beat out a lot of other teams, especially Toronto.
Yep.
I know that's where the main rumor mill has been leaning towards. I think that'd be a good move for Stamkos. They have the cap room, I'm sure. They also have the draft picks. Here's the other thing I will say about Toronto and Detroit. Toronto's going to be back in a few years. I have no doubt in my mind. They have the number 1 draft pick this year. They have a plenty of draft picks stocked up. And you know, Mike Babcock is one of the best coaches in the league, perhaps the best coach in the league right now. He's going to have him back. Detroit's already a step behind Toronto, in my opinion, in terms of the rebuild process. They don't want to fall two or three steps behind them.
Okay. And then, you know, finally, Jason, I just want your prediction for who faces off in the championship, the Stanley Cup final, and who wins that.
Well, you know, it's still early. We're only going into game four, but assuming things, you know, continue to play out as it happens, assuming we don't hit a hard right here and something crazy happens, I would think it would be the Sharks and the Penguins, honestly. And
that
would be one heck of a series if San Jose can keep their defense going into that second round. If they can't, then I would have to lean with Pittsburgh. I'm probably leaning with Pittsburgh either way if they make it to the Cup final, just because of the experience of Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin.
Okay. Well, Jason, thanks so much for being on. I regret that we can't have you on for any more, but it is time for Reflection Friday.
You have a good Reflection Friday. Thanks for having me on, Isaac. Stay cool, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Jason. I'll see you. And that's Reflection Friday. So if you missed last night's episode of Current Sports TV with Al Martin, all you have to do is go to video.wkr.org, because this is the coolest moment of the week. Al sat down with the first ever African-American coach, head coach, at Michigan State University. That's Jim Bibbs, a track and field coach, and what an inspirational and enlightening interview that was. So that's my first and foremost Reflection Friday topic. Then also, I want to look at the attendance at actually the Houston Astros game so far. 13 of 20 home games for the Astros have actually been attended at a lesser amount than J.J. Watt, the defensive end for the Texans, charity softball game. And I don't blame them, the Texans, it's boring. But I just think that this is ultimately a sign of why you need baseball to be outdoors, because it's a spectator sport, because it's the funnest game to go to, and you're not going to be singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" under synthetic lighting the same way. So that's my other reflection. And then LeBron James, congrats to him for passing up Shaquille O'Neal for fourth overall on the playoff all-time scoring list. Pretty cool stuff right there. But you know what? That's all the time we have for this Friday and this week. This is Current Sports. I'm the host, Isaac Constance, today. Almost messed that up. Be cool, stay easy, people, and have a great weekend. Get out there, enjoy the sun, and go to the East Lansing Art Festival. It'll be a good time. I'll see you.